A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
That's right, everybody. It's me, Matt Slick. I hope you're having a great day. And as usual, if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And if you want to watch the show, just go to the carm.org website, go to the homepage, and you'll see me sitting here in my chair in my office. Ooh, is it thrilling? So that's one of the things you want to make sure you check off your bucket list for life accomplishments. There you go. All right, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Hey, the Israel trip is going along pretty well for March of 2022, and it looks like I'll be going, and we've got a bunch of sign-ups. We're going to be officially doing the registration sign-up probably later next week, sometimes Thursday or Friday, something like that. We think we'll see, but it looks like it's going to start happening, and things are going well. I just talked with Eric Johnson about that, and he's the man. So he knows everything about the trip. He's arranging it, and we're talking about a half hour today on the phone. So he might be on next week to answer some questions as well. But at any rate, it's looking good. So if you're interested, just check out Carm Israel, C-A-R-M Israel, carmisrael.com, and you can check out all the information. All right. Hey, you know, I just released a new article maybe 20 minutes ago, half hour ago, and you might be interested in it. Maybe. It's called The New Society. So I've been doing so much research on social justice, BLM, critical race theory, racism, LGBTQ, all this stuff. I've kind of put a little summation of it in some stuff, in some outline points of what the new society, I call it, the new society wants to implement in our culture, in our country. So you can check it out. And give me some feedback if you want. All right, let's see. Four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Matt from Washington State. Matt, welcome. You are on the air.
Hi, Matt. I really appreciate the work that you do. Thank you so much.
Praise God, man.
Okay. My question for you is on John 14:12. Jesus says that they can do, or we could do, greater works than he's done. And I was in a conversation with somebody, and they said that Christians can heal people and things like that. And I kind of got a little bit of hint of, a little bit of different theology, specifically like the NAR church, from her. I just didn't really, wasn't able to really discern that. But I'm curious to know what your thoughts are on greater works than these. What does that mean?
Well, that's a good question, and it's been debated. Commentaries offer different ideas. Can we raise the dead and perform miracles? Yes, I believe so. And the reason I believe so is because all the charismatic gifts are still around, per 1 Corinthians 1:7, that we not lack any charisma while we're waiting for the return of Christ. But I don't believe that it means that the apostolic gifts exist as the way the apostles had them, where they could, by their authority, just pronounce this and would occur. I believe that God works charismatically through different people, different contexts, different times, and that no one person has this particular gift necessarily, even though they may exercise it more than others. So that's the kind of a view I have about that. But so what is we talking about here? Are we talking about people, generically, the body of Christ, being able to raise the dead? Yes, but Jesus raised the dead. Well, what's greater than that?
Right.
Jesus healed people. So what's greater than that? Well, what would be greater than the resurrection of somebody, or the curing of someone being sick, or the calming of an ocean? What do you think would be a greater work than that? Do you have an idea? I do.
For me, I believe that. Hello.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Uh-huh. You know, bringing people to Christ is the greatest work.
There you go. See, if we perform miracles, I agree with you. If someone, we raise someone from the dead and they end up going to hell, okay, well, that's nice, but the greatest miracle is the presentation of the gospel, their conversion, and things like that. That is the greatest thing. That's why I tell people that we who preach that gospel, not like me on the radio and an ordained minister, no, any Christian who gets to preach and present that gospel to anybody is performing one of the greatest services to mankind as is possible. There's no greater message to be preached. Not about politics, not about you know, your wife and your husband and your children, not about how to make good money, not about how, you know, eating well. All these things are important. But the greatest thing, the greatest privilege, is to speak the gospel message. And that's what we want to be able to do. Now, I'm not saying that we are the ones who convert people, because we don't. That's something that God does. I think what Jesus is talking about is, you know, you will do also, as he says, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these he'll do, because I go to the Father. And when he says, because I go to the Father, I think that means that he's going to be with the Father. There's some debate among theologians. As to the was it necessary for Jesus to ascend in order for the next realm of work to occur with the manifestation of the Spirit? We don't know. There's discussions about that, but nevertheless, there seems to be something that, you know, because he goes to the Father, these greater works we're going to be able to do. Well, what does that mean? Because he went to the Father, is there some celestial alteration, some change in the heavenlies we don't know about? Maybe, maybe not. Mm-hmm. We don't know. So the thing is, the Holy Spirit works in us. Now, remember, Jesus was made under the law, Galatians 4:4. And he, I believe, he did his miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because in Matthew 12, 22-32, when Jesus was being accused of casting out demons by the power of the devil, then he said, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven, because it was the Holy Spirit upon him, within him, doing these works. Well, what's important about that is for us to understand that as Jesus was a man under the law, and we are people under that law, and the Holy Spirit moved through Christ, can the Holy Spirit also move through us to do similar or the same things? Apparently, from John 14:12, the answer is yes. The works that I do, he will do also. So I believe that the same Holy Spirit that worked through Christ can work through us. And what we need to do as Christians is to recognize that that power that Christ had is ours too. But in John 5:19, John 5:30, Jesus says he can do nothing of his own initiative, but only what he sees the Father do. And he came to do the will of the Father. John 37, he talks about this. And John 37 through 40. So we have to make sure that what we desire is inside the will of God. And then the works that he does will do, because Jesus only did that which is pleasing to the Father. So then that means that works that we do, like Christ, will be pleasing to the Father. But the only way to have that is to be walking in fellowship with him, in intimacy with him, and not saying, hey, I need that new car. I need to have this. I need to have that. Me, me, me. And if I don't get it, wah. The Diaperinian theology takes roots and stuff like that. So I'm giving the super long answer to your answer.
No, I appreciate it. That gospel. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Great. So I will.
You passed. You passed the slick test, okay? So.
All right. Thanks, Matt. I really appreciate it.
All right, buddy. God bless, man.
All right, God bless you.
God bless. Okay. Hey, folks, we have nobody waiting in line. Why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let me remind you that we have a prayer ministry, and if you're interested in having someone pray for you, or if you're interested in joining the prayer team, just email prayer@carm.org, prayer@carm.org, and you can get in contact with people there, you know. And if you need prayer, just say, hey, I need prayer for this and for that. And we have a lot of good people who are on that team and praying. And Joanne is heading that up, and Joanne's doing a good job, and just letting you know about that. So you can check that out. Also, if you are so inclined and you want to do some learning, all you can do, well, not all you can do, but one of the things you can do is go to carm.org/schools. /schools, and what will happen is it will forward you to the school information. It will give you a little link of search things. Introduction to the online school, pick one. And it will take you to the pages, and you can find out about joining up. And actually, it's carm.org/online-schools, but schools will get you there too. We have three schools, one of theology, one of apologetics, and one of critical thinking, and they are there for your learning, for your grounding, for you to check your theology, to learn your theology. Why? Because you need to. Christians need to, and there's a sore lack inside the Christian community on biblical theology. And you don't have to have a super high IQ and big thick glasses and 18 notebooks to carry around. No, I make it simple. So check that out. All right, let's get to Daniel. Daniel from Portland, Oregon. Daniel, welcome. You are on the air.
Hello, Matt.
Hello. Hi.
Yes. I just have a question. I'm a Christian, but I have some difficulties with stuff, and I've prayed multiple times, and I feel this guilt, and that I am not pardoned, not forgiven. And
can I ask what kind of difficulties? You don't have to say anything, but you can give generic answers if you want, or if you don't want, that's okay.
Yeah, it's just some things of the past, like addiction.
Okay. Are you going to church? Are you going to church?
Yes.
Okay. How old are you, if I can ask?
About 10 years.
No, how old are you?
Oh, I'm 30.
Okay. Are you married?
No.
No? Okay. Are you divorced?
No.
Okay.
I'm single.
Okay. Okay. All right, so let's do a little bit of talking here. So when we have problems and addictions and various things like that and we're struggling and you don't feel forgiven, then that's good. It's also bad. It's good in the sense that you feel guilt when you should feel guilt. But it's bad in the sense that you're not trusting in the forgiveness of Christ. Now, the doctrine of God's predestination and election is important here. Election is God's choosing people to give to the Son. The Father gave to the Son the elect, the chosen ones. And then they're predestined into salvation, and Jesus paid for their sins. If you've trusted in Christ and you truly are a Christian, then that means that you've been elected from the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4, in Christ, who died on the cross, and you are in him. Romans 6:6, Romans 6:8. And Colossians 2:14 says he canceled the certificate of debt. You have to realize that no matter what you feel, and no matter what your failures, you're forgiven. Because your forgiveness is not dependent upon your ability or your sincerity, but upon Christ's shed blood. Now, we're going to break, so we're going to come back. We're talking about this a little bit more. It takes a while for people to accept this and to learn this and to be freed from their sins of various kinds of addictions. We'll be right back, folks. After these messages, please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, I want to welcome back to the show, Daniel. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. So, when you understand that the love of God for you is not dependent on your goodness or your sin, but it's dependent upon His love for you and His commitment to you, this is the beginning of your freedom. If you think that forgiveness and the love of God upon you is conditioned in any way upon your performance and your sanctification, you're never going to be free. You're just going to be crushed under the weight of failure. But if you understand that no matter how many times you fail, the Lord Jesus loves you, and that he redeemed you knowing your failures, but he loves you anyway, then this is the kind of thing that works better to free somebody, to know that they're loved that much. And it doesn't mean that your addictions always instantly go away, but it does mean that you can be free to struggle against them and realize you're still loved. Just as if you know, your mom and dad, you know, you get mad at them and yell at them and storm out of the house, but they still love you. It's just not going to change. And so this is how that kind of a thing is. And theology is what helps. Knowing that God chose you from the foundation of the world, predestined you into salvation, removed your sin debt, all of it, at the cross. And nothing you can do can unchange any of that. This is the greatest freedom that we can have, to know that our sin doesn't separate us from God because it's been paid for by Christ. And we're not damned, but we're freed. Then you can spend your time, instead of focusing on how you feel about forgiveness, if you feel it or not, and you're worried about it, then you can spend your time on fighting against it as you cling to the cross. And sometimes it takes years. Sometimes it takes just weeks and sometimes days. But that's what has to happen. Okay?
Okay.
Now, I've got a
Thank you, Matt. A
link for you, okay? I want you to check out if you're interested. I have a good friend named Chad Prigmore, and he runs a recovery thing for various addictions, and it's The Way, THEWAYR 122.org. The Way Romans 12:2 is what it is. The Way R 12:2.
The Way Romans. Let me write it down real quick.
Yeah, it's not the word Romans, but it's just R. So The Way. I told him, man, you got to get a better URL. But The Way. So THEWAYR 122. Dot org.
Okay. The Way R.
Yep. That's right. Okay. The Way.
Can you repeat it one more time?
Sure, no problem. THEWAYR 122.org. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay, I got it now.
He's a great guy, he's a humble man, loves the Lord, and he can help you. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right. And your elders need to know about some stuff too. Talk to them as well. Oops, we lost them. That's okay. All right, let's just move along then. We have two open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Dennis from Virginia. Dennis, welcome. You're on the air.
This is Denise Lefebvre.
Oh,
Denise. From Rockville, Virginia.
I'm sorry.
Denise.
Okay.
That's okay. I may not have said it right to your,
no, it's all right.
Call, your answerer.
So what do you got? What's up?
I have a question regarding, you had mentioned Joyce Meyer, the inspirational speaker, and her heresy. And I wanted to find out more about that. I do have one of her books, Battlefield of the Mind. I pick up very occasionally. And I liked her. I thought she was an inspirational speaker. And I just wanted to find out about regarding that. I had a question about that when I think you may have mentioned it last week.
Sure. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to read you some stuff from her, but let me ask you, if an atheist had a good self-help book and said spiritual things about God, but you knew it was an atheist, would you want to learn from that person?
No.
Good. So if you have someone who claims to be a Christian and teaches damnable heresy, would you want to learn from that person?
Definitely not.
Okay. So this is what she said. Okay. Jesus stopped being the Son of God. Okay, quote, he could have helped himself up until the point where he said, I commend my spirit into your hands. At that point, he couldn't do nothing for himself anymore. He had become sin. He was no longer the Son of God. He was sin. Okay? That's a damnable heresy. And the minute that blood sacrifice was accepted, Jesus was the first human being that was ever born again. Okay, that's another heresy.
She said that?
She said that, yep. It's on my website, and I think the links are still good for the audio. And we got on, might not be, forums.com storage. It's one of the things with the new site we're going to be going. I have to fix those links. But, yeah, she said that. I've done my research, okay? And I have the files on my computer where she said it, so I can reload them up to someplace, which I'll do.
Oh, wow. You know, I've wondered about those chapters in Battlefield of the Mind. Because some of the scriptures she uses before each title, you know, don't, you know, different things. It's his self-help for depression and worry. And yeah. That's why I picked it up, you know, when I was suicidal. And anyway, I wondered about the scriptures that went along with those chapters.
Whoops. Oh, I hope she comes back. She hung up accidentally, I know. So call back, Denise, if you want. Call back. We'll get you back on the air. What I'm going to do is read a few more things from Joyce Meyer that Joyce Meyer has said. This is from the book, The Most Important Decision You'll Ever Make, second printing, May 1993, page 35. Quote, he became our sacrifice and died on the cross. He did not stay dead. He was in the grave 3 days. During that time, he entered hell, where you and I deserve to go legally because of our sin. He paid the price there. Close quote. Now, that's damnable heresy, folks. What we mean by damnable heresy is that if you teach it, that voids salvation. That it is what she is saying here is that the cross of Christ was not where the atonement was finished, but that it had to be finished in hell. Okay, that's what she says. That's damnable heresy. And I say it publicly, it's damnable heresy. All right? And she says this, Jesus paid on the cross, and this is the same book, the next page, page 36, the same book, okay? The Most Important Decision You'll Ever Make by Joyce Meyer, second printing, May 1993, page 36. Oh, there's a break. I'll have to read it after the break. I'll read a few more so you can know about Joyce Meyer and what she says. These are things she says, and they are damnable heresies. All right? So, folks, please, would you hold on? We've got three open lines, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's see, let's get to Otis from Ohio. Otis, welcome, you're on the air.
Hello, Matt.
Hi.
I was calling back to let you know that I sent you the email, and I saw your video yesterday wanting me to call in, so I was just calling back to set up the debate.
Yeah, I saw. In fact, during the break, I saw that you were there, and I saw your name, Otis, and I was able to find it during the break, and I responded during the break just a minute ago.
Okay.
I actually looked for it two or three times and didn't know what to look for, and I didn't see anything. And the reason is because it came in with a weird heading, but I was able to find it. So I just responded like a minute ago, and so
okay.
Let's do it. All right. I appreciate your calling, too,
yes,
about
sir.
That. And so we have a variety of topics we can go to talk about. What would you like to talk about?
I put some
suggestions in the email. The Trinity? Is the Trinity true?
Okay. No.
No. How about the topic? Usually the affirmative goes first.
Work.
Yeah, the affirmative. So is the Trinity true? I would take the position yes, and you would take the position no. And usually what happens, we'll have like a 10 or 15-minute opening each. And then a 5-minute response to that, or whatever, and then counter or cross examination, and then a closing. That's pretty typical. And then Q&A from viewers.
All right. That's pretty typical.
Mm-hmm. And I would suggest...
Okay, that sounds pretty good to me.
You want to debate the Trinity? That's fine with me. I would suggest you go to my website and read up on the articles on the Trinity so you know what it is, not what it is not.
Yeah, I know what it is. I've actually used to kind of believe that stuff.
Okay. And then we'll find out where you're at. Because if you deny the Trinity and that Jesus is God in flesh, you're not a Christian. That's right.
I believe that Jesus is God. I just believe that he's the Father.
Yeah, okay. You're denying the Trinitarian nature. So let me ask you, is salvation by grace alone through faith alone, in Christ alone?
Yes, salvation is through Christ, that's it. No,
I said by faith alone and through grace alone. Do you have to be baptized to be saved?
I would say it's all according to baptism. It's like a succession of things. Let's say baptism, your faith, as well as your works. Because without good works, you can't get into heaven.
Okay, so justification means a legal declaration of righteousness. Is that justification by faith alone in Christ alone, or must you have good works combined with our faith in order to be justified?
Combined. I would say it's a combination of both.
Okay. Yeah, you're definitely not a Christian. Okay.
No.
I'm not mad at you.
Because Paul clearly tells you, he would tell you that work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah,
Jesus would also say in Revelation. Go ahead.
Yeah, Philippians 2, 12 and 13, you got to read the next verse because it puts in the context. And you got to go to Philippians 1, 6. You know, he who began a good work in you will perfect it to the day of Christ Jesus our Lord. And then what he's talking about in Philippians 2, he says, work out your salvation. It doesn't mean that you obtain salvation. He says, for it is God who is both in you, working in you, to will and to work according to his good pleasure, verse 13. So you got to read the context. So justification.
Well, go ahead.
Justification is a great topic because I would love to be able to discuss that too. So
yeah, because Jesus clearly would tell you that he's coming to give every man according to his works.
Yeah.
Even John the Baptist, when he was baptizing, he would say, "Repent and bring forth works meet for repentance."
Yeah,
so
that's right.
You have to live a righteous life.
Are you living a righteous life?
Yes, sir.
You don't sin anymore?
I repent it.
Do you? So if you repent, that means you sin. So do you still sin?
No, I do my best not to.
So you still sin. You do your best, which means you're not being perfect. You still sin, right? Right.
The things I used to do, I don't do those things no more.
Do you sin? When's the last time you sinned? Roughly, you know.
I probably have sinned. I probably cussed.
Okay.
Said a cuss word.
So when? Last year? Yesterday? What?
Yesterday.
Okay, so did you lose your salvation when you cussed?
No.
Oh, so you had to be... You said you have to keep the law, you got to do good in order to be saved, but then you just admitted you're not.
No, what I'm saying is that if you accept Christ, you have to become a new creation. Old things have to be passed away. All things have to be new. So you have to live your life righteous in Christ Jesus. Because you cannot accept Christ. Yes,
in order to be saved. So the question is, are you doing that? Are you living righteously?
Yes, yes, yes.
Boy, you're arrogant. You're arrogant.
Well, I am.
Well,
it's Christ who lives in me. How about that?
No, but you're arrogant. You can't keep the law.
Arrogant.
Even Paul the Apostle said he couldn't do it.
No, I'm not talking about keeping the law. No.
That's what righteousness is. Righteousness is according to the law. Don't lie, don't steal, honor God, love him, love your neighbor.
Well, Romans 6:61, shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound? God forbid. So we cannot live in sin. We have to have those former things passed away. We can no longer live that life.
Where does it say in those verses that you have to not sin in order to be have your sins forgiven?
It is repentance. You have to repent.
Repentance means is Greek metanoia, which means a changing of the mind.
Turn away. Yes.
Yeah, and so you have to repent, which means no sin anymore, right? You keep the law. If you're lying,
the law says
don't lie. So you're keeping the law in order to be saved, right?
We remember you say that we keep the law. You don't have to keep the law. No, not the Old Testament law. No, because he writes those things in our heart. Galatians, Paul talks about, go ahead.
But these things are in the New Testament. Don't lie, don't steal, love God, love your neighbor. These are reiterated. Mm-hmm. So these are the things you're supposed to do. Yes. Are you doing them perfectly?
Yes. As far as perfectly, I would say no, not like. I don't do like major stuff. Every now and then, I would probably slip my tongue, but that's about it.
Oh, so little sins are okay. They, little sins
don't. No, they're not okay. They're no.
They don't cost you salvation.
Colossians 3:8.
Yeah, remove abusive speech. Let me ask you. So you have to keep the law to be saved, like love God, love your neighbor, you know, things like that, and those are the standards of the law. So is the standard perfection, or does God lower his standard for you?
Well, he says to be holy. Be holy, for I am holy.
Yeah, 1 Peter 1:16. Can you be holy?
Yes, you can.
How can you be holy?
You have to turn to Christ, allow Christ to live in you, because his holiness is now living in you, so therefore you have to purge out your old sins, your old nature. It has to go. There's no way around it.
Oh, I'm glad that you allow Christ to come into your heart. That's interesting. You are the one who allows it. And so, do you live holy to be holy?
Yes, I live. I do my best to live holy.
Okay.
I can't say that.
Yeah, and so, is this how you achieve your holiness, by living a holy life?
I'll allow Christ to change the thing. The things that I used to do, I don't do it anymore. So I live those things like walking in the Spirit. That's what I try to do, my best.
Okay. So, yeah, you're all mixed up. And you don't know who Christ really is. You don't know who God really is. You're all mixed up, okay? And I'm not mad at you.
What I believe is that when you present the truth to people, because their conscience is so suppressed, because they suppress it so much that they start believing the lies that they're hearing and what they see, it's a suppressive thing. That's what's going on. And that's what I believe a lot of Trinitarians do.
So are you familiar with Romans 2:1? Therefore, you have no excuse, everyone of you passes judgment, for in which you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practices the same thing. You're guilty of what you're accusing others of doing.
No, I don't practice those things. I do not do those things.
Yeah, you do. You said various things which are heretical, and you're practicing, and you say the Trinitarians are all false, yet the entire Christian church has held to the Trinity throughout history. It's in Scripture, and yet you come along and say the Trinity's false, along with the oneness Pentecostal heretics.
Well, the thing of it is that there's no Scripture that says God is one in three persons.
You're right.
Paul tells you in 2 Corinthians 4:13, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore I speak, we have to believe what is written. So what's not written is that God is one in three persons, God is triune, God to that nature. There's no way in the book.
Well, let me ask you.
If you can show me that.
Does Jesus have two natures, divine and human?
Does he have two natures?
Mm-hmm.
No, he does not have two natures.
Okay. He only has one. Oh, okay, because, you know, we could use that as an argument against what you were saying. But now I'm curious, which nature does Jesus have?
Spirit. God is a spirit.
No, that's the form. Spirit is the nature of either divine or human.
Oh, you're talking about holiness?
I emailed you, so we got a break coming up. We got guys waiting. So why don't let's talk with the emails. We'll set something up, okay? All right, Otis?
All right.
All right.
Take it easy, my brother.
We'll talk to you later. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Let's get to Carlos from Raleigh, North Carolina. Carlos, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt, can you hear me?
Uh-huh, I hear you. Yep.
Hey, I just wanted to thank you. Thank the Lord, first of all, and then thank you, too. I'm a first-time listener, and by the grace of God, I was able to find you.
Praise God, man.
My car broke down, and I've been driving a work van, and the only radio station that worked was yours, so thank God. God for that. My question was on I've been listening to this radio station throughout the day, and a topic came up in regards to the government releasing evidence or footage that, you know, extraterrestrial beings may actually exist. And I just wanted your take on, you know, a biblical answer, you know, to what you think that that might be true or what might not be true.
Well, I've been studying UFOs, alien stuff for decades, not real heavy, but just, you know, it's something I'm always interested in. And I'll watch shows that have evidence of aliens and films and things like this. I've watched lots of them. I've listened to, I don't know how many podcasts on aliens, on space travel, on all kind of stuff, from wacko stuff to, wow, that's really interesting kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've seen documentaries and stuff. All right, so from what I can conclude is that the aliens, well, let me just say, the UFOs are real, in the sense we're talking about these spaceships that fly really fast and, you know, change angles and stuff like that, better than what we can do, that kind of stuff. Those things are apparently real. They're on radar. There have been crashes. Every government, major government in the world has reported the same kind of things all over the place, and this has been going on for decades and decades and decades. So, I don't have any problem admitting, yeah, there's something going on. The question is, what is it? Well, it's not possible for life to form anywhere in the entire universe by chance. It just can't happen. And I can go into the math sometimes. Someone called me up and asked me about that. It's a little heady, but I can do that. And since that's not a possibility, then God has to create life. So if there's alien life out there, God had to create it. But we don't see anything in Scripture that suggests that, so I don't go that position. Now, what we do find is that demonic forces can appear as humans. Well, why can't they appear in different forms as well? They can appear as humans. Well, why not other forms? We don't know. I mean, you know, so is it possible that something's going on and that there is a manifestation of them doing work and developing actual craft for the purpose of deceiving people towards the last days? This is one of the theories that is being taught in some Christian circles when they study this stuff, particularly when they find out that Christians don't get abducted, and that some of the aliens are teaching, these so-called aliens are teaching theology, and the theology is Jesus is not God, we're all divine, reincarnation is true. So this is some of the stuff that I've gathered over the years, and all kinds of other stuff we don't need to get into right now. And so it could be that it's a demonic manifestation. But I don't know. You know, could be. All right.
Gotcha. Yes, sir. And like I said, you know, I thank God that that I found your radio station, and you know, I thank you for. I've been listening to you, like I said, for the past week, and you know, there's been some subjects that really touched my heart and my soul. So, I really thank you for that.
Good.
You know, I hope I can keep on listening to you and get more guidance and answers throughout this radio station.
Well, I gotta tell you, I gotta give you a warning. Okay, my last name is Slick, so you gotta be careful. Listen to a guy named Slick on the radio. All right, that's what I warn people about. So you always check what I say against Scripture, right? You know, I could just see you telling your friends, yeah, I found this guy, man. He talks about the Bible. What's his name? Slick. He's on the radio. I believe whatever he says. It doesn't look good, okay? So what you got to do is check what I say against Scripture. Always check what I say against Scripture. Always, always, always. Which is why I try and quote references. All right? And go to the website, carm.org, carm.org. Okay?
O-R-G. Gotcha.
That's my website. I've been working on it for over 25 years, and it's got a lot of information. Okay, buddy?
Perfect. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you very much.
Okay, Carlos, man. God bless, buddy. Keep listening.
God bless.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Okay. All right. Let's get on the phones with John from New Jersey. Hey, John. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
It's about Romans 8:13.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of Steve Lawson?
The name rings a bell, but that's as far as it goes. Okay.
Okay, well, he has something on YouTube. Steve Lawson versus pornography. It's called Reformed Thug Life, 47 seconds long. And basically saying that if you look at pornography, you're going to hell.
That's not true. Okay. So, I'm not saying it's okay to look at pornography, but if someone looks at pornography, it doesn't mean they're automatically going to hell. They're going to hell because they're sinners and their sin's not been covered by the blood of Christ. And, of course, I'm not saying that if you're a Christian, it's okay to look at porn because then you can go to heaven. I'm not saying that because God will deal with you. Okay? He'll discipline you, and he may take you out of the picture, may kill you. So, if he says if you're a Christian, you look at porn, you're going to hell, no, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Okay, but I'm not saying it's okay to look at it. It's just that, you know, why is that particular sin, this stuff? And they usually get legalistic, and usually people who hold that kind of doctrine couldn't argue their way out of a wet paper bag. Okay, they don't understand biblical theology, and they get legalistic about stuff. They put burdens on people and stuff, and they just destroy people's faiths because, oh, I failed this area, so I'm going to hell. Well, no. You're going to hell if you don't trust in Christ. But if you do trust in Christ, you better get your act together. Because if you don't, God will work on you. I got some beeping. Yeah. So God will work on you. He will convict you. And if you do not repent of sin, then he will discipline you. And the discipline usually becomes more severe as time goes on. And this is what happens. Because God would never abandon you. Okay?
Okay, that's encouraging. Romans 8:13.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? Because I think John Piper also said, if you live by the flesh, you're going to go to hell. I think
that's true.
Some of his sermons says that.
Yeah, it says that. If you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But the spirit, you're putting the death of deeds of the body, you will live. Now, it doesn't say, according to the flesh, you know, if you're doing this, you're going to go to hell. It doesn't say that. Now, I'm more technical about stuff with people. You know, if people say, see, that verse means you're going to hell. It does not say it. It says you'll die. Well, what does it mean by die? They say, well, it means you're going to hell. Well, it doesn't say that. It says you'll die. There's physical death and there's spiritual death. Are both being spoken of or one being spoken of? And if it's just one, how do you know which one? So, and also, if you're living according to the flesh, well, I got a question. Does that mean you're a Christian? Do Christians live according to the flesh? Is that what's going on? Well, then we have a problem. We can say yes and no. Because, you know, I'm fleshly in some areas. You know, I got pride and arrogance and stupidity and stubbornness. I got those things. And sometimes they get the better of me. And so, am I living according to the flesh? Well, in a sense, yeah. But it's not a habit I'm seeking to live in. So in that sense, no. I think what Paul's getting at here is if this is what you're abiding in, you're just living in fornication, you're living in adultery, you know, that's your style, that's your life, you know, you're going to die, man. In that case, yeah, you're going to hell because you're not saved. So we have to be careful what we say about the text. We've got to interpret this text. So generally speaking, when it says living according to the flesh, if we understand it to mean that they're not saved people, then yes, when they die, they go to hell. But can you be a saved Christian and live according to the flesh? The answer is yes and no. Because yes, you can do it for 5 minutes. But can you do it for 5 years? Because we all as Christians will live in according to the flesh for a small period of time as we do something wrong. But we war against it eventually. You know, I might get mad at my wife about something stupid. And then 10 minutes later I go, yeah, I'm sorry, hon, I was really out of line, etc. Was I living in the flesh for 10 minutes? Maybe. This is why we got to be careful about things like this. And I think what Paul's just saying is, if you're living according to the flesh, this is your lifestyle. Not 5 minutes or 10 minutes, but this is your lifestyle. Well, then you're going to die. You must die. You're going to hell. Because you're not saved. But if by the Spirit you're putting to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. Well, the Spirit indwells the Christian. So if the Spirit indwells a Christian, then we're doing that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, that's because we're saved. That's what I think it means. So, you know, I'm just cautious when people say it automatically means something. We've got to be careful. Do the words say exactly what we want them to say? Not necessarily. We've got to be careful, then we work into it, and then we draw a conclusion to the best of our ability. Okay?
Okay, thanks, man. And good luck with that guy who thinks Jesus is the Father, man. I never heard anything like that in my life.
Yeah, it's called modal monarchianism, Sabellianism, Oneness Pentecostalism. Yeah, variations of the same thing.
Wow,
all right, buddy?
Well, I'm praying for you. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, buddy. All right, God bless. Okay, let's get on the phones with Josh from Texas. We lost Josh. Let's get on with Kobe from North Carolina. Kobe, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello?
Kobe. Hey. What do you got, man?
Yeah. My question is,
Yes.
What is biblical repentance?
Biblical repentance is a change of attitude, a change of mind towards a sin that you don't want to do it anymore. Where before you sought it and lived in it, and now you don't want it. Because it comes from the Greek metanoeo, meta change, naos mind, metanoeo. So it's saying a change of mind, an attitudinal change. Attitudinal changes lead to behavioral changes. So if you recognize that you've been sinning because you're reading the Word and you have this repentant attitude, you want to stop doing it. It's a change of mind to turn from the direction of what you were doing to what you're supposed to be doing. Okay?
Okay, but like, why do people keep on saying that it's like taking a complete turn from sin?
Because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to make a complete turn from sin. Your attitude is supposed to change from sin to away from sin. Yep.
But isn't that like almost impossible though?
Yes.
Because that's like saying that when someone gets saved, then they're supposed to be perfect.
Right. Now, we only got about a minute left, so let me see if I can get this out here and said that we are not saved by our repentance, and we don't keep our salvation by our repentance. God grants us repentance, 2 Timothy 2:25, and we're saved by faith in Christ. We change our attitude against sin, and we war against it, and that's our repentance. As we seek the Lord Jesus Christ, we turn from sin, confess our sin, and work against it all the time. That's the idea within the Christian attitude. And I'm sorry we're out of time. Call back Monday. We can talk more about what repentance is, because I think people need to know more about it. Hey, folks, God bless. May the Lord just give you a great weekend. Talk to you later.